The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, it's Tuesday again. I warned you, and it happened. It's all right. Considering the alternatives, I'll take it. We are back again tonight for another 3 hours of radio with you, and it's always fun for me, and I've said this for years, because I learn, as well as many of you, about new things, get new ideas, and that's really what it's about, keeping the mind alive. They can try and stifle us, stomp us, squash us, keep us in indentured servitude, whatever they want, but as long as we can think, we have some freedom. Now, remember what I've also said. If they take away freedom of speech, freedom of expression, what happens to many people? Those people who are worried about expressing themselves and getting into trouble, and there's more of that all the time, begin then to worry about thinking. They avoid subjects to think about because it's taboo. And they might actually say something and get in trouble. So it's an issue of freedom of thought, freedom of expression, and above all, again, it's freedom to be able to think and cogitate. And that's what they're trying to dim. They want to push that and quash it as much as they can. And in many ways, they're doing that. It used to be that way. You didn't even want to think about the word Jew because it was taboo. You just didn't say the word Jew. Jew. You didn't say it. It's okay to say it. It's like saying Catholic. But it used to be that people were afraid to say the word Jew or even talk about it. So that's what I'm talking about. When you're afraid to write something, then you become afraid, in many cases, to think about it. And that's very unfortunate. But that's the game and that's what they play. We have a very, very interesting first guest tonight. He's back for, I think, his third or maybe fourth visit to the program. I'm not sure. He is one of my columnists at Rents.com. He is a very good writer, very provocative writer. He is Preston James, and he is standing by right now. Are you there, Preston?
Yes, I am.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Always a pleasure. You just concluded.
I enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. It's always fun to talk to you, too. You concluded a lengthy series about space wars, war in space. Tell us about that a little bit more, and then we'll get into some of those. That was a six-part series, I believe, wasn't it?
Well, let's see, actually eight. It was actually eight, but there's probably more coming. I started writing the series because when people start, I guess I had contacts with law enforcement individuals that investigated the alien phenomena years ago, 25 years ago, and And of course, when they found out that yes, there's something to this, there and actually became aware of crash recovery teams and learned more than they should have, and then and then didn't when they would tell me something, but not very much, and their attitude is completely different. Then I realized that it's more than just aliens out there. Then I asked this one individual, why aren't you telling me more? And he said, well, because it's need to know. I can't find out anymore. Why? And I asked, well, why can't you find out anymore? And he said, well, I don't know. I think they're afraid of people knowing. And then I started...
What line of work was this guy in?
He was a police intelligence officer. I don't want to say too much.
Okay, that's good enough. All right, got it.
Yeah, but he traveled around the country working for an agency.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, so the bottom line is, I started thinking this over, and I thought, well, normally the only reason you have security like that sounds like operational security, OPSEC, which means that they're trying to protect current operations.
Correct.
And then if you have current operations, does that signify then there must be a war? Mm-hmm. You know, if you hear you've had somebody say yes, you know, one of the astronauts has said yes, there are UFOs and there are probably aliens in them. We don't know for sure.
Well, Ed Mitchell
said, but they're harmless.
Yeah, right. Well, okay.
So then you see, but then I say, well, if they're harmless, then, you know, why wouldn't we welcome them? Why wouldn't we show the public pictures? Why would it be a big issue? But then almost everything's clamped down. Well, then you think, well, is it that if people knew it would threaten the form of government that we have because people would catch the government in a lie? But of course, it wasn't a lie at first, because when Roswell happened, the government admitted it the first day. It was in the newspaper. The generals admitted it. Then security was locked.
No question about it. None.
So
absolutely.
I started checking into this and interviewing people and talking to people, older people, people mm-hmm. in the Navy in their 70s and 80s, and that knew about it. And they were, I sat in the kitchen of a guy's home that was 80 years old, uh-huh. and he was actually so frightened to talk about it that he turned his radio up. 80 years old, he'd been threatened. If you talk about this sort of thing, we'll bury you in the desert. You'll never be seen again.
Wow, that's a Roswell thing.
Yeah.
Now hold on a second, because this is important. I've always wondered until I figured it out why older veterans would take it with them. Well, part of the reason, it's a very big part of it, is that they came from an age when you took an oath and you were given an order, you did it. Now things are different. It's a whole different ethos, a different morality. But yet some of these guys still are able to shake that loose and realize that this is an issue of birthright. We have a right to know. We have a right to know what's going on in the solar system or the galaxy or the universe. And these people who are keeping these secrets away from us with intent to harm, really, because it is harmful not to know, are wrong. And these older folks, some of them are figuring it out, and they are releasing information. So he turned the radio up, and what did he say?
Yeah, so then he tells me, we don't really know what they are, but he said, we think they could have hostile intent because there seem to be different kinds of them, and they seem to be fighting among themselves.
Uh-huh.
And we've lost planes. They haven't started anything, but when we fired upon them, we've lost planes.
Hundreds of planes in 1953 to 55 span. Read the book,
right.
Shoot Them Down by Frank Fraschino, all documented.
Right.
Hundreds of planes, hundreds of aviators shot down.
Right. So at that point, I realized, yes, you know, this is just more than top secret stuff. This is a war. There is some kind of a space war going on, not only between these things and the U.S. Air Force, which was started out as the U.S. Army Air Corps, was changed to Air Force later, but not only between them, but actually between these different factions themselves, it appeared to be.
Yeah.
So, which really caught me off guard. I had, you know, no idea. So, and then in talking to people that investigated this and whatever, people will start, but they always talk about it in terms of rumors. Well, this is what we believe. Nobody knows for sure. Everything is always fuzzy. So they tell each other stories.
Mm-hmm.
They tell each other rumors, but they will never say anything in terms of facts.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's changed the last few years thanks to Dr. Stephen Greer and what, over 200 very credible witnesses that have come forth from the defense contracting industry and from the...
Oh, right. Many of them beyond rock solid, these people.
Yes, yes. And so everything that we suspected we're finding out is true and more.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started finding out about this, there is a space war. And then, of course, if you can go to YouTube and you can see various movies, but there have been downloaded films from NASA that show pulse beam weapons being fired back and forth in space and moving UFOs. And I had gotten information from an investigator that went down to investigate. He was working on the Michael Reconosciuto Inslaw matter. He was investigating.
Yeah, I know Reconosciuto, yeah. I know.
Okay.
He's still in prison. Yeah.
Right. And on trumped up dope charges.
Yep.
But anyway, he was involved in this. Michael Reconosciuto was involved in this Meridian Arms company with Robert Booth Nichols, who's supposedly dead now, and that one FBI agent deceased now. But anyway. So he was, this individual and another person were down investigating this, and what they found was evidence that they were doing testing on particle beams, and one of the individuals had been burnt and taken up to a hospital in Tucson, I believe, and died there. They got the reports from the nurses and stuff, and then also that a carload with Michael Reconosciuto and Robert Booth Nichols had been stopped going from the Cabazon Indian Reservation that had some strange weapons in it and you know, handheld missiles and stuff, but they used to go to downtown L.A. to the slums and test the machine guns on the bums, which, I mean, it's just pretty sick, you know.
Well, but
this is the kind of world these people are in. Anyway, so, but I got the report that the ground would open up down near Yuma, Arizona, and there were, in certain times of the night, UFOs would go in and out of there,
mm-hmm.
And apparently there were four other places in the Southwest, so we know that there spacecraft going in and out of bases where there are American soldiers, Air Force soldiers, and mostly mm-hmm. private defense contractors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, so this raises all these questions. Why would you have, if it's a war, why do we have private defense contractors involved?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on a second right there,
okay.
Preston. We'll come right back in just a couple minutes. Okay, talking to Preston James, we invite you to go to the left side of Rents and take a look for his columnist section. You'll see Secret Wars Part 7, and you can track him right on back from there and read them all. They're fascinating research. You've done some really good work on this. It's kind of a bottomless pit of information once you get digging in it, so I can see why you'd keep going. It's fascinating, and you're right. The story, as I understand it over all these years, is that there are a number of different intelligent life forms who don't always get along with each other who are here. They have bases here underwater, under the land. There have been some extraordinary videos made over Denver recently of what appear to be disc-like objects actually descending in broad daylight into a portion of the urban area of Denver. I don't know what that means, but it was very interesting. So go ahead, please.
Well, yeah, this is really interesting. So basically, I guess my last article was triggered by some of Gordon Duff's work. He's a senior editor of Veterans Today, and I really like a lot of his work. It's just pretty amazing stuff. But he is connected at the highest level. He's an intelligence consultant internationally. But one thing, he's very committed to American soldiers and veterans, and he never will release any intelligence that would in any way harm a current operation or put any of their lives in danger. That's
right.
Number
we know Uncle Gordy here very well. He's
okay.
On a couple times a month. Yeah.
So that's the only limit. But when he finds things out, he believes the American people have a right to know, and he does.
Well, that's what I just said earlier. We have a we not have a right. We have a birthright, a God-given right to
that's
know.
Right. So he wrote this article on August 4th called Chinese Alignment with Hostile Alien Force Brings Pacific War Threat. It was on Veterans Day, and it's quite an astounding article. But in it, he makes a statement that the Chinese apparently have been approached by an alien force that has been building a sea base in the Pacific Basin and formed some kind of alliance. And we don't know the specifics of it. And in exchange for certain favors, it will be giving the Chinese advanced technology. And what I was able to find out about it is the Chinese apparently have been promised advanced computer technology, quantum computing.
They already have the world's fastest supercomputer now. They have taken number one over. So.
Right. Now, is that our own fault because the Americans subcontracted everything out to them?
Well, under the Clintons, Bill sent them quite a few supercomputers, as you remember, and they promised us, don't worry, they'll never be used for military purposes, only university research.
Yeah, right. Well, now, supposedly, well, I started checking into this quantum computer. I'm not a nuclear physicist or this is beyond me, but the people that I talk to say that even PhD-level physicists have trouble with this stuff, with quantum mechanics. And basically, quantum computing is very bizarre because in normal computing, you have a byte, which is either a 1 or a 0. Quantum computing, you can have a 1 or a 0 at the same time, or maybe 10 other quantities. So you have multidimensional. You can have up to numerous dimensions.
Got it.
And this is bizarre stuff, but what it means is
it's no longer linear. It goes in every direction.
You got it. Yeah, it isn't even curvilinear. It's what, 4D, 5D, 6, I mean, you name it. Well, the point is that, Jeff, if this is developed properly, these processors, and there are some now that do supposedly work, are so powerful that they can actually supposedly outcalculate the human brain, which has been so far the fastest and the best. Now, there's a kind
of... just a matter of time, my friend. It's probably already been surpassed. Yeah.
Right. So, and the other part of it is there's a war now with computer people between the biological brain, which it's been rumored our government built, used with alien technology, where they grow brain cells, so it's like a huge, 200-pound human-type brain.
Isn't that
that's
weird?
Connected.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what they're trying to do, the underground bases, they're trying to, the aliens are trying to package the soul. They can't understand because they do not apparently have any capacity for love and empathy like humans, and they want to package this. They want to hybridize themselves. So anyway, this is what they're doing, all these draconian experiments.
I've heard that. Now, hold on. That's interesting. They're trying to incorporate a measure of living, the soul, that they don't apparently at least have conscious access to or knowledge of within themselves. They may not have it. And they're trying to hybridize with people so they can pick up that missing dimension that they don't have, that part
That's
of us
right.
that gets out of the car and keeps on walking when the physical body dies. They don't have that.
That's right.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, that's what they claim. And so we're getting into some really esoteric stuff, really difficult stuff. I can tell you what I've been told. Do I believe it? I don't know. It's probably true. But basically, the best description to me is that these alien beings are parasites. And of course, the Muslims, if you talk to, there are respected Muslim scholars that will tell you, if you pull them aside, they won't say it publicly, but if you pull them aside, they'll tell you, these are demons, these are jinns. And they know all about it, and they say that there is a great Satan, he's very crafty, and these are his progeny, and they want to inhabit
Well, that would depend on which group, right?
Right, right.
Let's call them different species of intelligent life forms, and some of them may be jinns, I don't know.
Well, they think they all are. I'm talking about the conventional clerics. Okay. And of course, a lot of the Christian and the Catholic pastors, especially the exorcists, know all about this, and they talk about it. But the bottom line is, we have a culture that's developed inside the Beltway, called Beltway political culture, and the people actually are functioning like high-level parasites. They're abusing their power. Parasite sucks the life out of the host organism until it dies. That's what they're doing to the American public, to the people. And so I've been told that they do not let anybody in government at the highest levels unless they've been infected with an alien parasite. Now, that's like right out of the X-Files. Nobody wants to believe that. I certainly don't, but I can't say it's not true.
Hmm.
And Gordon Duff knows about this, and it'd be interesting if you could ever get him on to talk about it. But, there was an X-Files program on the black oil parasite. Did you ever watch that?
No.
Well, Gordon Duff's article, he talks about that's been been theorized. But as the story goes, the alien beings want to infect the world with these various vaccines. That's why we have the chemtrail spraying and all these things. And then once they're infected, a person can be, they can be electronically, psychotronically entrained. You can manipulate their brain through psychotronic manipulation. It can entrain thoughts, so that's what they're trying to do. But there was one glitch in it, and that is the immutable human spirit. That what they found is that anybody that has character seems to be resistant to this. And the people, if you can compromise someone, get them, and I call it breaking the golden rule, if you can get them to do something wrong, break the golden rule and cauterize their conscience, then it seems like this parasite can take over. That seems to be the game. So they look for people, they try to dirty them up with drugs, sex, prostitution, homosexuality, all these various things. Once they get them dirtied up, then it seems they become a good host for the parasite. This is pretty bizarre stuff.
Well, actually, it is and it isn't. If you make someone into a morally depraved individual, taking drugs, they've always said that when you take drugs, even alcohol, the door opens and people and other things can get into you easier. I don't know if it's true, but that's another part of this thing. Many of these Hollywood celebrities, Preston, we have a break here, have actually said on camera, just kind of muttered it, I sold my soul to the devil. They say it and to get where I am. And I have no reason to doubt the potential of something like that. I don't know if it's exactly as the words would suggest, but they certainly do sell out to get where they are.
Well, they got the success and the money, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, hold on. This is really very interesting. Preston James and I will be right back. Somebody remind me to have Preston on more often. You remind me, Preston. I can't okay. track all these people. 60 guests a month on the average, it gets crazy.
Well,
the time goes by. Now, okay, hold on. This issue of aliens here on the planet, I don't expect all of you out there to buy into it, but I would ask you all to open your minds and just listen carefully. You don't have to change your opinion. There's a lot going on here that we don't know about. There's stuff called top secret, above top secret, and then talk and die top secret. It's all there, top secret. So too much information, too many reports, too many credible people, over 200 with the Disclosure Project. Why not? That would be my question. But okay, I haven't seen anything except one time that really bothered me that would lead me to believe there's something strange walking amongst us. And I mean walking amongst us that we don't know. So, let's go on with your story. This is very interesting. So, if the Chinese get this computer, all right, wow.
If this is a PSYOPs, that's one thing. Because, you know, it's been known that World War II was won by British PSYOPs. They, you know, had fake, you know, tanks and ships and troop barracks and everything else, and they fooled the Germans. That's a fact.
Well, the PSYOPs played a big role, the rubber inflatable tanks, but the big one, of course, was the Enigma crack through.
I cannot
believe the Germans didn't change that over and over and over again. The Japanese didn't either, and we cracked their code.
That's a fatal flaw. The purple code. That's right. So the point is the top military people will tell anybody that asks typically that cryptography is the most important thing. Anybody that masters cryptography early on during a war has got it made, and they're going.
It's like
to
playing
win.
Football and knowing what the other team is going to play against you every time, every play. You know
exactly.
In advance what it's going to be.
Exactly.
And then to have the other team almost still beat you, like Germany did in the war, is amazing.
Well, that's right. So we know the Chinese have good computer stuff because they got a lot of it from us and developed it from that point on. But we also know the United States has had at least two treaties with alien civilizations or at least entities presenting themselves as that. Some people say it's like they're demons and they're, you know, interdimensional beings that are deceiving our government. But whatever, we've gotten technology. Any expert will tell you there's been a tremendous growth of technology that probably would not have otherwise been possible. But the Chinese apparently now have their own treaty. They were approached. And if they have, in fact, been given the deep secrets of quantum computing, that's a huge strategic advantage. Now, the United States has just finished building Vesuvius, which is supposedly the world's biggest quantum computer. There's actually one made in Canada that's sold, I think it's $500,000 you can buy. But this is
that's
a huge
all?
One.
That's it?
Pardon me?
That's
oh,
all?
I think so, yeah.
500,000? That's chump change.
Google bought it and is testing it now. But the thing about quantum computing is the reason they're so important is because if you want full combat independent military robots, mm-hmm. you have to, well, there are two things that prevented us from having it. The first is plasma spraying. They hadn't perfected that. Now they can plasma spray metals, titanium and various metals, and actually make, you know, complete hands and feet and all these metal particles.
Explain a little bit more. What are you talking about?
Well, you know about spraying plastic parts for prototypes, you know, about the plastic gun. Okay, well, the defense contractors developed a way to spray, turn metal, you know about plasma torches where you cut through metal with a plasma burner.
Okay.
They developed ways to actually plasmatize metals into a vapor and then using electrolysis, some kind of electrical magnetic attraction or chemical attraction would actually, you know, pull it on to, once they get the basic framework started on a mold, they can
pull that away.
They
start with a frame and start building up layers with plasma, and then they have a fully fleshed hand, as it were.
You got it. They can, and they can do it in 3D, so they can actually make tanks. They can make a machine gun completely from plasma. It's expensive and it takes time, but they can do it. But the beauty of it is that if they do these plasma burners in outer space on a space platform, when it's free of gravity, it's you get a much better product. You can use buckyballs and these various things to get tremendous strength.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's if you've got the quantum computing, because you can see the sensors need to be 3D, what you get is with quantum computing, it will allow the sensors to pick up depth and make calculations that would not otherwise be possible. So you could have you could technically build a machine that would have all the capabilities of a human being or better or surpass that in terms of visual acuity and distancing and all that.
That's all coming.
Right. Well, anyway, that's the big race. And of course, you know about fuzzy logic. Fuzzy logic was a big thing for a while. It was a software solution to not having quantum computing. Quantum computing was so far superior. And of course, then you get into this whole thing of particle particle entanglement. And this is where it loses me. I know it's true because I've seen movies of it, but it's very hard to understand. But let's say that you have an electron that's spinning around a nucleus. You can take, and through a various process, get that electron to spin around another nucleus. Then if you separate one nucleus from the other nucleus and separate them 100 miles away or 1,000 miles away, there's still a connection between that electron through a different dimension, so that if you sever the electron on one side, it'll indicate on the other side. In other words, distance is no longer a factor. There's some dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange stuff.
Non-locality.
You got it. Okay, so they have developed what's called toroidal transmitters, or their toroidal wave or standing wave transmitters, scalar waves, using toroidally wrapped transmitters. This is, I guess, Tesla was one of the first to do this. Anyway, these send a waveform that is faster than the speed of light. They don't really know what the speed is, but in other words, let's say you have one of these new scalar radios. If you pick up the signal, the minute you pick it up, it indicates on the other end because it changes the signal as it's sent. And also, it tells you the distance and exact location without GPS.
Wow.
So you can imagine the value of that in a battle.
It's all military first and then trickle down to us later.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Just a second. This is all very heady stuff, very interesting and very real. Back with Preston after this. Future. You can get an idea what he writes about by our conversation. Find his archive on the left side of rents.com, right there. Okay, my friend, onward. This is very interesting.
Well, my point is that physics is out the window now, as we used to know it. You know, Einstein and talked about some of these things, and he called the you know quantum entanglement as spooky and whatever, but he didn't really understand the depth of it. And now what we're finding out is that not only is gravity a product of it, but time can be warped too. And so it's setting off a whole different concern with the military. And the people that have access to this are the private contractors that have these relationships with these alien entities and these common bases. They have what's called DUMs, deep underground military bases, but apparently they're joint operations where they've been working on developing hybrids, but also trying to develop advanced biological computers and advanced weapon systems. Well, if this rumor is true that the Chinese now have access to quantum computing, it puts the United States in a real tough situation with their, you know, their new data center in Utah and their new Vesuvius, which is claimed to be the world's largest quantum computer and up and running. But so far, the early reports are they've had tremendous problems with air factors. And air factors really limit the usability.
Air or error?
Error.
Error factors, all right.
Right. And that means that the when you compare the different dimensions of the qubits, they're called, there's an error to that, so that you need to have a very low error rate to make this operational, to make it work. And they need this in order to power their independent thinking soldiers. Hopefully, from the military perspective, this stuff won't work, because I don't think it's good for the world to have these things. But what they want to do is get rid of the human aspects of soldiers and have them completely deployed, the whole military run by computers from outer space, so that they're, you know, they can't be reached easily. And once the computer, the robots put on the ground, they think, do everything by themselves. They can't be recalled and all that. That's what they want, and I think it's dangerous.
I agree.
So, yeah. And they're even designing computers now, tanks and stuff, that eat the corpses of the enemy and turn them to fuel, you know.
Yeah, I read about that a year or two ago. And are they actually deployable, those systems?
Well, they have them, you know. They have them that work. I don't know if they're efficient, or I doubt they're efficient. I think a lot of these defense contractors' sales pitches.
Well, what could they use? All right, let's think about people. What is in people that could be used for fuel? Obviously, we're 75-80% water, so you'd have to think in terms of hydrogen.
That's right.
Hydrogen from water of the corpse.
And fat. Yeah, that's what they have, is enzyme burners or something. But the point is that if these technological developments occur, then we're going to see a huge change in warfare. Now, right now with the drone warfare, we have Homeland Security has ordered 30,000 drones that all can be armed. And I personally think they're just going to, once they're activated, I think they're just going to start taking out dissidents, just start going around the country.
Well, absolutely. Of course.
They're going to stage
false flag. Goes right hand in hand with the snitch culture. Well, we got a report. And throw away guns. Come on, this goes back to the 20s and 30s with cops. They'll just have throwaway scenarios, and they'll just take people out. You're right. You're totally right.
See, I think the Department of Homeland Security is a Zionist front. It's basically neocon dual, you know, Israeli-American citizens, Israeli firsters that are.
They never let anything get away from them, folks. If it has power, they own it, or they control it, or they influence it to the max. Yes,
I think it's neo-Bolshevism. I think what we're going. I think these are the same. I would call it Talmudic Zionism is the thing that created Bolshevism, created the
communism, socialism, Marxism. Right. They're Khazar killers.
That's right. That's right. And of course, we know that in Israel, 90% of the people living there claiming to have Hebrew blood in them do not. They
all
have
lies.
Khazarian blood.
That's right.
Recent genetic studies show that, and we know that 80% of the Palestinians actually have Hebrew blood in them. You know, so you know, the real anti-Semites are the Israelis that are attacking the Palestinians, who are the real Semites.
It's so ludicrous. Yeah.
And so I think basically what they want to do is the Department of Homeland Security was set up to mass murder the Americans, kill 80% of the Americans, and I think that's why they're gearing up, and they're going to planning on bringing Russians in to do it, or satellite country, because they're buying up AK-47s.
I don't think they'll need to. Why they're buying AK-47s, I don't know, except they may be better rifles, and most everyone agrees on that. It's hard to know, but there are enough Americans who would volunteer to kill Americans. Look at any SWAT team. Any of these anti-protest police forces that go out and shoot people in the eye with rubber bullets.
Do you know why though, Jeff?
Tell me why.
They're mind controlled. You know that.
That's a given. If you're too intelligent, you don't even get to be in that department.
But the cops wear these shoulder mounted radios.
Yeah.
This pulse beam microwave. And we know they drank the Kool-Aid. They've got the nanoparticles that migrate to their brain. They can be flashed. We know that they can be made remotely aggressive. The world's top experts, Barry Tarr, the world's top expert, developed microwave weapons, has gone public and said so. So we know that they.
So Trower has confirmed, or said he has confirmed, that there are nanoparticulates that migrate to the brain, that take up residence in the brain, that actually are receivers of microwave output that can turn people into killers, or certainly very aggressive.
He confirmed that the pulse beam microwave on the shoulder could entrain aggression in people. I'm confirming that the nanoparticles migrate from.
Well, sure
from
they
Mike.
Do. It'll be in the air pretty soon. People will just breathe it. They'll never know they got it.
You've heard about like smart dust, you know.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Right. Okay. So, but the bottom line is you know, I had quite a famous individual here in town who's well known to everybody. I won't use his name, but I was trying to tell him about the mind control and the entrainment. He was visiting me for a weekend. Mm-hmm. He told me, "You're full of crap on that." So I said, "Fine, I'll take you out." So I took him out with all my expensive meters, and we went up and down the street. We found out that at noon they turned the microwave on the main highways. It was so high I had to shut the meters down or burn them out, and they turn it off after the rush hour is over, and then at night again during rush hour they turn it back on.
Oh, really?
It blew his mind. And we went to the schools. The schools are all way off the limit. And you know, Europeans have legal limits for microwave, and they're all surpassed here in most of the urban areas.
Now, when you say they turn them on the highways, that would suggest that there are dishes or certainly.
Well, they're in the street. They're built into the streetlights. In my town, they have microwave generators in the street lamps that work independently of the light.
Okay, what do these microwaves do to the motorists traveling under them?
Well, I don't know. They give me a headache, but they make me angry. But I think they affect everybody differently. Most people, they just make them anxious. But, you know, we don't really know. We know what they claim they can do, but, you know, defense contractors, what they claim to get money and what actually works a lot of times is too.
So these are already in, your instruments say, show, in streetlights.
Right.
On highways.
And they're in the schools.
Yeah.
But this is pretty well, people know they have Wi-Fi in the schools. And
well, Wi-Fi has been banned in England, we know that.
Right, but what they've done is, we saw the experiment here. They started putting them in certain sporting goods stores, which were owned by this the company, they call it one of the intelligence agencies, mm-hmm. threw a cutout on these stores. They started installing pulse beam microwaves and then had HD cameras, which went into the fusion center, which would correlate, you know, the speech patterns in people and facial recognition with their habits and patterns. So we knew that. We had people that worked at the fusion center that told us that. They were proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing this all over the country. In fact, you have almost every department store is hardwired right into the fusion center. Did you know that?
Is the fusion center in the building or a centrally located place?
The fusion center is centrally located, like in one town. Ours is underground. And then they have all the HD stuff go into this fusion center, which is operated under Homeland Security, and there they have facial recognition. So they can ID people coming into the store by voice and by...
All right, so they got a great toy to play with. What good is it?
Well, I think it's the main thing is to separate taxpayers from their money and to keep us oppressive. You know, it's part of the lie that there's a terrorist under every rock.
And there's not?
No, there's no terrorists in the United States except for the government.
I didn't know that. They would. This whole fear-based society is being promulgated electromagnetically with all kinds of technologies. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what it appears to be. Mm-hmm. I can tell you what the big concern now in the future for the next year or so is. If you'll check the news, you'll find out that you know about the Barksdale Air Force Base where the...
Sure.
Okay, then you know about the recent situation where they've taken launch rights away from the military... officers, high-ranking officers.
Well, 75 of them or something like that.
Right.
70-something.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. What has happened, apparently, is that these people, normally, they have the highest, you know, background checks possible. So these are the finest military people you could ever imagine. And they're going haywire. They're breaking security. So the theory is that they've somehow been entrained or mind-controlled or gotten the parasite or whatever, and they can be activated remotely. So the government's very afraid that the alien force or a foreign agency can start a coup d'etat, a launch against Washington, D.C. without really wanting to do so. In other words, these people can involuntarily
not respond.
Made to do that. Right. Uh-huh. And see, that sounds absurd at face value, but this is what I'm hearing. So if this is true... You know, you understand now where they're building a new White House in Ozark, Missouri.
Underground.
Right.
They're probably got two or three of them here and there. Although, who would want to preserve the commander-in-chief?
Well,
I don't know.
That's right.
they got a lot of other people running the show. If you'd like to come back this Friday, let me know. Look at your schedule and email me. We'll do a part two on this conversation.
Yeah, this stuff is tough to deal with. One thing we know is whether it's true or not, I can guarantee you that the government is spending a lot of money on it.
Well, I think what we are really seeing when we look at the television as a populace and see SWAT teams and protests and all the rest of it, we're not seeing anything stable. We're looking at something that is in tremendous transition technologically that you can't see. It's happening around the clock and all the time. And what we see is a very passing glimpse of a reality that in a year or two won't be anymore. That's my
view. I think you're right, Jeff.
All right. Well, maybe we'll talk to you Friday, Preston. Let me know.
All right. Sounds good.
Be good. Take care.
Take care. Thank you. Right.
You bet. Preston James. Yeah, lots to think about there. Even if only half of that is grounded in any reality. Right? It's always, there's smoke, there's fire. Be right back with Hour 2.